Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today, I'm very happy to welcome Eric Peterson, cook, chef, artisan, entrepreneur, and teacher to What's Up Bainbridge. Eric, I want to talk about your upcoming BARN kitchen series on cooking with fresh sea kelp. But first, tell us a little about you, your background, and what led you to this fascinating connection with sea kelp.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Let's see, what brought me here to cooking at BARN with sea kelp? I began my studies and practices in as an adult in the fine arts and visual art. Was dedicated for 20 to 25 years in that practice. And in doing so, I also worked as a cook, mostly for a popular French Northwest modern restaurant called the Boat Street Kitchen in Seattle. Mm-hmm. One of the owners of that, Rene Erickson, was also a painter. We met in art school, and she hired me, and I learned an awful lot by working with the cooks there, working with materials and learning and sharing what I can make, paying attention to the details of materials as I manipulate them, and some degree of refinement. All of that is something that I brought with me in painting and in food. And when I moved to Bainbridge Island from Seattle, I wanted to no longer work for restaurants anymore. And I heard
it's a pretty demanding existence.
It is. In some ways, it can be a lot of fun, and in some ways, it can be very hard. And I eventually arrived with the idea of starting a personal chef-oriented food service business, which I named the Island Larder, and I have been very slow and informal in the way that I've introduced this business into the community of Kitsap County. Through word of mouth, a gentleman by the name of Marcos Shear, who started Seagrove Kelp Farm in Alaska, lives on Bainbridge with his wife Hillary. He approached me with an agenda of experimenting with pickled kelp that I immediately was interested in for several reasons. And that was successful, and we want to introduce and familiarize the community with working with fresh kelp. He had the idea of approaching BARN with a class on working with fresh kelp and asked me if I would be willing to do that. And I was, and that has grown into a series of three classes. Our intention is to show people how easy it is of an ingredient to work with. It's not the scary thing that people think it might be.
It's not slimy?
Some varieties are slimy.
Oh, okay.
But not all varieties.
Yeah.
The Elaria kelp, which is a ribbon kelp that we will be working with, is not a slimy ingredient. Mm-hmm. It has a very mild flavor, a really wonderful texture that is a kind of a crunch, a little bit of a chew factor. And it's so it's mild and delicate, but also highly durable, which as a professional cook, a highly durable, delicate, nutritious, flavorful ingredient is something to treasure.
Yeah, so, as you're describing that, Eric, I'm thinking about, okay, what does that mean? For me, it means you can wrap it around things, you can form it around things, and those kinds of manipulations.
Yeah, we'll be doing that in our first class, the one that's focused on baking and roasting with fresh kelp.
And that is scheduled for March 10th.
Correct.
And people can find that by going to the Barn website and go under classes, go to the kitchen studio, mm-hmm. and your classes are listed.
Yeah, the quality of kelp for roasting was a... This has been a great learning experience for me. I had not worked with fresh kelp before. It's just not something available. And so Marcos has been providing me with fresh kelp to experiment with. And,
oh, wow.
And so between that and some research on my own, I've been learning, and I look forward to sharing what I've learned and what I continue to learn with students. The kelp itself roasts very nicely. It crisps very quickly, and the coolest factor that I think about it is that it kind of self-adheres. So if you wrap it around vegetables or fish and you roast it, the parts of the kelp that touch one another, it's almost like a self-adhesive.
Oh, wow.
And so it will help retain a nice little bundle form, which makes for good plating. Yeah.
In the description of your first class, I was really intrigued with this. It says roasted kelp rolls stuffed with shrimp and some kind of mushroom.
Yeah, maitake.
Maitake.
Yeah.
And I thought of a dish that I had growing up. I grew up in a Czech community in eastern Iowa, and stuffed cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was the connection right away.
Yes, and that was the connection for me as well. I have an aunt who introduced me to stuffed cabbage rolls. And
they're so good.
They're delicious, yeah. So it definitely was inspired by that.
Ah, neat. Well, I mean, right away I'm thinking, okay, I can go into the store and I can buy a package of dried, some kind of, I don't know if it's kelp or seaweed or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering about fresh kelp. How accessible is it?
It's not accessible. And that's part of the reason why we're doing these classes is because there needs to be a shift in order to make it more accessible. Marcos is growing beautiful, delicious, nutritious kelp by the boatloads. And he is successful in distribution in Alaska, where kelp has been consumed for centuries. He has found success in Wajamaya in Seattle. Wajamaya is a grocery chain that's Asian based, and they're carrying his ribbon kelp in the freezer section. He is approaching Town and Country, and I believe Town and Country eventually will come around to carrying it. But we need the public to be asking for it.
Sure.
So we're encouraging people to start harassing Town and Country.
So come to your classes and learn about this.
Yeah.
It really sounds fascinating to me. And when you said in the one place, one grocery store is carrying it in the frozen section. So this kelp, the ribbon kelp, can be cultivated, grown, harvested, and then frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, Marcos will be present along with his wife, Hillary, at the classes that we're offering to answer questions about cultivation and production of kelp in the industry. But it is something that he has been able to store and freeze and ship as a frozen product. And it, like I mentioned before, it's a very durable product. So in my own experiments with it, it's something that I've even defrosted and then refrozen. And it's, you know, not as good as the first time, but it holds up very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So describe what, like, what size do you end up getting with the frozen package?
Yeah, I think he's offering them right now in 1 pound packages. I'm hesitant to mention what the retail on that is. I want to say it's $8, but I'm not certain. It's not real expensive.
That's okay.
And there's seawater retention, and it's not packaged in brine or in seawater, but of course the kelp retains seawater, and so in defrosting it, it defrosts fairly quickly, and generally I'm giving it a very quick rinse. If I found that if I rinse it too thoroughly, then it loses the flavor that I want to have. But if you don't like the flavor of seawater, you can eat kelp and not notice. This kelp will rinse out quickly, and you can get rid of that sea briny flavor if you don't want it.
Yeah, but it is quite intriguing that sea taste. I don't know how else to put it. You said sea briny flavor.
Yeah, it's a briny flavor, and if you grew up around Puget Sound, it's something that brings back memories of swimming in the Sound and getting unexpected gulps of water.
I want to talk more about the other two classes too, and a couple of things you're going to be preparing and offering for experiencing here. But what are some of the health benefits of kelp?
Sure. There's a lot of, I am not a dietitian or a nutritionist, so I cannot speak with authority about it, but there, and Marcos does have more information about that than I do.
Oh.
It's one of those foods that might be deemed a superfood because of its micronutrients and its source for iodine. It has a little bit of protein. It's very high in certain vitamins, vitamins B and vitamin K, I believe, and vitamin C. But yeah, there are definitely nutrients to it. Let's see. I heard Marcos talking about how it has a nutrient that people who don't eat meat are generally missing, and is something that's difficult to find in other vegetal ingredients. And so that's something that we will talk more about in the class. But if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, kelp could be a very significant source of ingredients for
okay.
you.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. Now, you're offering three classes. The first one is called Baking and Roasting with Fresh Sea Kelp, and that's March 10th. Your second class is April 14th, excuse me, and it's Stovetop Work with Fresh Sea Kelp. What are you going to be doing in that class?
Yeah, that class I'm planning to have students make something called shakshuka, which is a North African origin dish that's also become very popular in the Middle East. We're going to make a green shakshuka, which will include probably a chard and Alaria kelp. There will be some blanching and some pureeing and then some sautéing and simmering of a sauce with all of that you poach eggs into. We will also be, we're going to wrap whitefish, I'm thinking halibut and or cod in the kelp. And I experimented with doing a pan fry on the halibut, and it's certainly possible, and it came out fairly well. It's a little difficult to pull that out without it becoming a bit of a mess, so it might be a challenge for some students. I also tried wrapping it in cod and then steaming it over white wine and vegetable broth, and fantastic.
I wow. mean,
everything about it was really good.
I can't wait to get my hands on this.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The next class is May 12th. Oh, before I talk about that, this is a participatory class. People will be cooking along with you.
Yeah.
And then tasting.
Yeah.
Eating. Yeah.
I'm new to Barn, and so I'm still learning how things operate here. And of course, with the pandemic, everything has been changing.
Sure.
Our intention is to have everybody be working at a separate station, or if they come with a partner, which you're encouraged to do so, to working with your partner at your own station. And my initial thought was to have everybody making their own dish. But actually, after talking with you about how you've run a bistro class, I really like the idea of students working together to create dishes. And this is kind of a twofold issue, because it significantly reduces the cost of ingredients, which food is expensive, and I advocate for people to spend more on food than less. We will be doing some work, especially in the first class, where we're working individually, but then we'll also be doing some work where we're working collaboratively. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so on May 12th, which is the third and final class, fresh preparations of sea kelp.
Yeah.
These look like great things to get involved with. I'm reading about them and you talk about them. Go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I find I get excited about fresh preparations also. And when I say that, I'm talking about working with it in ways where we're not cooking it through heat. You can eat it raw as is. It does come out very nicely to do a quick blanch on the kelp. It changes the texture slightly, and it makes for a much more brilliant color of green if you do a blanch on it. We will, in each class, I think, probably do a little bit of blanching. With the fresh preparations of kelp, the idea is to make a pâté or a rillette, where you're using a smoked fish like a canned sardine or a mackerel, and having it be a butter-oriented pâté with fresh herbs and chives and shallots and that sort of thing. It comes out quite pretty when you pop it out of the mold. Something that, a point of curiosity if you're entertaining, but people who enjoy seafood will enjoy this pâté. So that, in addition to including it into salads, I mean, seaweed salad is something that is traditional and you can find in a lot of markets. But it's also something that we can incorporate ribbon kelp into. I think I'm planning on a grain salad, and it works very nicely. It behaves a lot like spinach might. So
okay,
it's different, but yeah.
Yeah, your shetshuka that you were talking about earlier, I always think of that. The color of that is red, of course.
Right, that's the traditional
with the poached eggs.
Yeah,
yeah, which is so good.
Yeah,
I mean, I was exposed to it for the first time when I moved to the Northwest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wonderful. So, just in quick recap here, your first class is March 10th, baking and roasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then April 14th, stovetop work.
Mm-hmm.
And then May 12th, fresh preparations, which you were just discussing.
Yeah.
And I know we could go on and talk about this for a long time.
Yes.
But we have to be careful on our timing for the podcast tonight. But I just want to tell everybody to go to the Barn website and go to classes under the kitchen heading, and they can find... that's where they can sign up for your classes.
That's correct.
The last thing I wanted to chat with you about briefly, Eric, is you're a proprietor of a company called Island Larder.
And yes.
Give us a quick overview of what Island Larder is.
Island Larder is the name of a business that I started, which was really the kind of the front, the public label of my own creative activities, a way for me to engage with the public in meeting unusual needs and desires around food. So I call it a creative culinary service, and I primarily am engaged in producing food for families, clients who may have dietary issues or be looking to experiment or transition from meat-based diets to plant-based diets. But it's also been a way for me to get involved in such things as pickling kelp, and I've had several things pop up where I can participate as Island Larder. It's a developing business for me.
And you've got a beautiful website. And how did they find it?
Islandlarder.net. So Island Larder being all one word, LARDER after island, .net.
Okay, great. And I encourage people to go to that website because it's nicely put together and you offer some really interesting and wonderful creative things there.
Thank you.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Eric, thank you for joining us today on What's Up Bainbridge.
Thank you, Bob.
It's really been fun for me, for sure. Mm-hmm. And thank you for joining us today on this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.